What's up, folks? My name is George Pierce, and I want to welcome you to the very first episode of the Reviews Podcast. If you don't know anything about Reviews, it's a website dedicated to reviewing six different types of media, including music, TV, video games, books, movies, and comics. On this, the very first episode, we'll be focusing on video games, specifically one particular genre, Japanese role-playing games. We'll be covering anything and everything about the genre. Past, present, future, how the genre's evolved, our personal favorite titles, characters, what we like, what we don't like. Basically, anything to give us an excuse to keep talking about video games. I want to also know that we're not going to discriminate against subgenres. Any type of RPG is available for us to talk about as long as it was made in Japan. Now, because this is the first podcast we've ever done on the site, I think some introductions are in order. As I said before, my name is George. I'm 27 years old, and I'm from Texas. As far as games go, I'll play anything. Doesn't matter what it is or what system it's on. If it looks interesting and I'm not just completely flat broke, I'll give it a try. I've got two of my compatriots from the site with me here. We got Joey and Pat. I'll let these fellas introduce themselves. Joey, you want to tell everybody what you're about?
Yeah, it's... Well, my name is Joey Keeney, you know, I'm from Toronto. I've been playing video games for damn near as long as I can remember. I first got into JRPGs, probably like a lot of people, through Final Fantasy. I had Final Fantasy 1 and 2 Dawn of Souls for Game Boy Advance. That was a gem of a game. One of my favorites of all time. And then from there, I started playing, you know, Golden Sun, Pokemon, all these other different JRPGs, but not necessarily different. They all pretty much have that same theme to them. I think that's pretty much why I'm so into them, is they all remind me of the first time I started playing back in the first Final Fantasy.
I'm Patrick. I'm from across Canada, and I've been playing video games since I first got the NES for Christmas. The golden cartridge of The Legend of Zelda was in the package, and I've been hooked ever since. PlayStation, Nintendo, PC, which I guess is the same as Xbox. I like to play all the games.
Oh, man. I'm with you, man. So, Joey, you mentioned your early stages of RPGs. How did you, like, you said you started with Final Fantasy, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
So, what made you pick it up in the first place?
To be honest, it was at a point... when I was at a stage where I didn't really, like, the extent of my knowledge of video games at that time was Mario and Mega Man, and just jump and shoot and jump and get to the end of the level. And then I think for Christmas one year, my mom or my dad got me the Game Boy Advance. And, you know, I was playing Pokemon and stuff before, but I never really beat them because I never really fully understood what to do. And I played... I'm pretty sure it was just Final Fantasy 1. And it gave you the option at the beginning, you know, pick your warrior, thief, your mages, whatever you want to do. And I picked, like, the four dudes who I thought looked coolest. And, you know, just went through it. And I, like, you know, just walking back and forth, you level up, you talk to certain people in the town, you learn little tidbits here and there. And I think I was 12 or 13 at the time, so I could actually understand the concepts of the story and how to get better at the game. And from there, it was just like, it's all history. It's currently right now, I'm playing Final Fantasy IV as we speak. Like, I'm leveling up in Lunar Subterranean. Like, I love it.
Oh, man. You were really young. You got lucky. You were really young. Like, Pat, how young were you when you first started playing RPGs?
Oh, it must have been 8 or 9. Well, although that was The Legend of Zelda, which is more of an action, you know, subgenre than the RPG. But but then we got the Sega Genesis, and I picked up Chrono Trigger 4 for like $5 somewhere, and I just got hooked on that. Just wandering around towns, this was a new thing to me. Just talking to people, like, I just love what I like most about RPGs, and to me, what makes an RPG is if you can just wander around the world, talk to this guy, talk to that guy. I don't feel like going quest today. Maybe I'll just go farm something over here. And then that led to me getting hooked on to EverQuest, and then EverQuest 2, and then eventually Final Fantasy 14. Kind of skipped Final Fantasy 11. But Final Fantasy 7 for me stood out a lot, because that came out, you know, I was big into Nintendo 64. None of my friends could sell me on the PlayStation. And then along comes Final Fantasy 7. And all arguments went out the window. I had to get a Sony.
Oh, man. You, yeah. I you guys, $5? You found Chrono Trigger for $5? Are you kidding me? You can't find it for $5 today.
In my town. They had great deals.
Oh.
Yeah, no. For the record, I want to say Legend of Zelda is definitely an RPG. If it has dungeons, it's an RPG.
Yeah, that's an definitely. RPG.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I know some people discriminate RPG. You know, like they say it's not an RPG unless there's like a separate battle screen or anything like that. No.
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah, Zelda is definitely an RPG. Just like
Xenoblade Chronicles, they don't go to a different battle screen there, and that's as RPG as it gets.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, neither does Final Fantasy 12.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's a gem too.
Ooh.
Oh yeah.
No, what I'm saying, you guys are lucky. You guys started with RPGs super early. I didn't get a chance to play a Japanese RPG. Other than Pokemon, you know, I played Pokemon, but other than that, it was just, you know, I was going through just video games as it went along. My first one was Chrono Trigger as well, the first one I ever played all the way through. I didn't do that on Super Nintendo, though. I have an emulator, or had an emulator, and I played it, you know, Xbox was already out, maybe even Xbox 360 by that time. And I had I didn't hear much about it before just seeing that it came with the emulator that my friend gave me. The ROM came with it. So I was like, okay, well, there it is, and people like it, so I'll try it. And I played it all the way through on PC in the age of 3D gaming, and it was mind-blowing what I had missed. I could go on talking about Chrono Trigger for hours. I really could, and even to this day, it is one of my absolute all-time favorite games, as I'm sure a lot of people feel the same. But I just feel you guys are incredibly lucky to have started so early. Like, what else did you pick up? I mean, you Pat, you said you started with Chrono Trigger. What else? And then you went to Final Fantasy VII. What was in between there?
A lot of stuff. One of my favorite games for the NES was the original Metal Gear, and it's not. It kind of, to me, that was kind of an RPG, because you know you just get into these random trucks, you don't know where you're going to, and you had to really learn the game to progress. And I was, as a wee kid, I couldn't get anywhere until my brother went out and got the ultimate code, and then I just plugged that into the system. But once you have the ultimate code, it defeats the whole purpose, because everything's just unlocked. But but through the years, you know, there's been quite a few RPGs. I went back and played Final Fantasy 1 back when Sony came out, and gaining one experience point at a time, I didn't get very far, I admit.
Yeah, no, that game's tough to get into if you don't really know what you're looking for. Because, like, the main characters you play as, they don't speak. So you have no sense of, like, oh, I do want to go here. Like, Cecil in Final Fantasy IV will say, well, guys, we should go here next. In Final Fantasy I, you don't have that luxury.
It's the same in Final Fantasy III. I have both 1 and 3 on my phone. And I stopped playing 1, and I'm currently blowing through 3 right now. Because, yeah, it's just like, as you said, Final Fantasy III, they say after every boss you go, you know, collect your reward, and they're like, well, now that you defeated this guy, you should really go to this continent and fight and find this guy, and he'll tell you what to do next.
Exactly, yeah. I never played Final Fantasy III, actually. Does that one have a job system like 5, or what is that?
It's let me put it this way. Have you ever played Bravely Default for 3DS?
Oh, man, that is like, I'm getting that for Christmas, man. I did not play that. I have a 3DS, and I'm mad at myself for not playing that.
Well, you're in for a treat.
Oh, I can't wait.
You are absolutely in for a treat. That is an incredible JRPG. But it's very, very classic. You know, it may not say it in a title, but it's definitely a Final Fantasy game.
I've heard that from so many people.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's called, in Japan, I think it's called Bravely Default Flying Fairy. And then, you know, the FF is a nod to the real series. But, I mean, what I was going for is that it has the same, like, type of system as Bravely Default. Except Bravely Default, you know, takes it 10 times further. But you get, I think, a grand total of 20 classes or 20 jobs.
Okay.
You can choose one every so often. After you defeat a certain boss, some more will open up. And you just will go around the world trying to fix the world. It's really fun. And then the jobs level up different from your character, just like in Bravely Default.
Okay.
So, yeah, very very classic. I think that was the first one with a separate job system that you could actually change jobs with, too.
Number three?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think that was. Number four introduced the active time battle.
Which all came together with seven, right, I think? Or six?
I think six made best use of it.
I've never played that one either. I know that's six, one of those I need to get back into. Like go back and play number six, which I guess in North America was number three.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that whole thing.
That's the confusing part.
It's crazy.
Oh, no. But what about recently? Like, what about recent RPGs? Like, you mentioned Xenoblade, Pat. That might be my absolute favorite JRPG other than Chrono Trigger that I've ever played.
Ooh.
In my life, that is such a good game. and the last JRPG I actually finished all the way through. So that was what I played.
I haven't got to the end, and I really should, because it was such an ordeal for me to actually play the game. Because when I bought it, I had one of the first released Wiis that didn't read dual layer discs. So after returning the game to the store a couple of times, they mentioned that I should just contact Nintendo, and I had to ship my system away so that they could put in a dual disc reader. And I never ended up finishing the game. It's bucking me.
Oh, and now it's, you know, $60 used.
Yeah. And because I think in North America it was only being sold at EB or something like that.
Yeah,
it was a limited release. They're releasing it on the 3DS, but you have to upgrade your 3DS and buy a new 3DS. So decisions.
Well, you could watch the playthrough. Chugga Conroy is doing a playthrough. You could just watch that. You should totally finish that game, because the game is one huge spoiler until the very, very end after the boss fight. Then everything is explained.
Okay.
But that Xenoblade and I'm going back and playing some classic games, but Xenoblade and the Persona series are what I've been playing lately. What about you, Joey?
Oh, man. You know, I always heard Persona was crazy, the whole demon hunting thing, and you're in a school and you're friends and you have to see who's compatible with each other. I always really liked the idea of it, but I never had the system at the time. So like whenever Persona 4 came out, my PS2 was like done. It was done, so I couldn't use it. And now I have a PS2, I can't find Persona 4 anywhere. So it's like I don't know what's up with that series. I've heard is good things.
It's different. It's that's one of the reasons why I really like it. It's different from, you know, Final Fantasy-esque JRPGs, and it deals with just high school life. It's almost like playing an anime in a video game. You're a high school kid, and you have to go around making friends, and the friendships and the relationships that you build help power up the persona you can create, because you create persona as you get further in the game, you have more options to create persona, which are monsters that fight for you. And you go and you go up this randomly generated tower floor after floor and fight. But it, like, the battle system's cool. The characters are, they change. They're really deep and super numerous. And I'm only speaking from three. I've gotten super far in that game. I know I'm almost to the end, but I haven't finished it myself. And I do plan on getting four if I could ever find it, because I have the same problem as you. But I find it really, it's super fun to play. And I've looked at some other RPGs, but I'm afraid to, like, I've got Lost Odyssey.
Oh, that Xbox game was fucking awesome.
I heard a lot of good things about that. I don't forget, though.
Yeah, I can't. I don't know. Like, I didn't want to start it before I finished Persona. But I picked it up literally just because I found it for $10. And then I looked it up and people said, yes, it's awesome. I really don't know anything about it.
Dude, it is. That game is one. It's in my top 10 somewhere. I mean, I literally bought a 360. I think it was a couple of years back, strictly for Gears of War. Right. And because there was no other game that interested me. I didn't really like Halo, whatever, but I wanted to play Gears of War with my buddies. So I got the 360, and I was at EB Games and I seen Lost Odyssey on the shelf. So I went, grabbed, picked it up, and I'm like, man, that logo really looks like very, very like RPG. Like, you know, I saw some stuff on the back as Hironobu Sakaguchi, the guy who created Final Fantasy #1. So right there, I said, no, that's a purchase. Got that, brought it home. Popped in, there's four discs, popped in disc one, and I was hooked. Like, the story, the characters, the battle system, everything is just, like, it's got Final Fantasy buried deep within it somewhere. It's, like, it's got that essence in there, but it's completely its own thing. I mean, like, the main character, the whole thing, he's immortal, and all he wants to do is die, but he can't, because he's just watched everyone he loved, like, die before him, because he can't die, but everyone else does and grows old. It's such a great game, man. I can't even begin to explain. You definitely finish Persona 4 or 3, whatever you're playing. But, dude, go for Lost Odyssey. That game is awesome.
Oh, man. You got me excited now.
It's so good.
But that brings up a question I wanted to ask. So what usually attracts you to a game when you start playing it? Like, what keeps you playing? Because there's been a lot of JRPGs that I've started. Like, I don't finish a lot as deep secret stuff. I don't finish a lot of JRPGs all the way through. You know, I don't play them all the way through. That's what makes games like Xenoblade and Chrono Trigger so special, because I actually finished those to the very end. I saw the ending, or the 3 or the 4. But but I don't do that all the time. So what gets you, like, fixed on a game to where you want to just keep playing it? Like, what's a make or break?
Well, story is, most RPGs are story driven. I'm not saying there aren't any that are gameplay driven, but story is definitely a deal breaker for me. Like, I can't play an entire RPG all the way through just based on gameplay. It's gotta be, I gotta like the world, the character. It will definitely, you have to have great characters. I mean, I can play Final Fantasy VIII, for example, but the only character that I'm interested in is Squall, and maybe Zell. And so, like, when you have to make a team of three, I'm always stuck. I'm like, well, I don't really care who my third person is, so we might as well, like you know what I mean. I didn't play that game all the way through for that reason. But when I'm playing Final Fantasy VII, I can be like, well, I have too many characters that I like to put on my team, so I have to keep switching back and forth and leveling them and going crazy. So story, characters, huge deal breaker. Huge.
Yeah, I have to agree with Joyce. Story and characters, like, without good characters and a rich story to draw you in, like, you just get bored of it. I actually put down Final Fantasy VIII at the scene where they were all at some orphanage, and they all realized that they had all been there before and they didn't know each other.
Me too.
I just said, yeah, I'm done here.
No, for real. That made no sense when I was playing it. I'm like, everyone just met, and then they all share the same memory, and they're like, oh, we all know each other from the past, but we just met. So yeah. It makes no sense. I mean, no. I didn't understand that game.
Another big thing for me is the side quest. Like, that's one thing that keeps me going back to Final Fantasy VII, you know, getting the different characters that are hidden. Yuffie, you know, she steals your material. You got to go chase her down. The game's, you know, great story, great characters, but you have to have stuff to do when you don't feel like progressing the story. Like Blitzball in Final Fantasy X.
Yes!
I think I stopped playing the story for like 3 months, and I just won the Blitzball tournaments, you know, and we're going on the world tour, you know?
I know so many people who did the same. I've never played Final Fantasy X myself, but so many people were like, yeah, you'll play it, and then you'll play it. It'll just become Final Fantasy Blitzball.
That's literally, I got Waka's like ultimate weapon, ultimate limit break. I won everything from the Blitzball tournament. I love that. I love that game, man.
I'm really surprised that they didn't make a Blitzball, you know, kind of side game where it was just, you know, the Blitzball tournament. I still think they should, Square. Come on.
They could. I mean, so many. I know I've heard so much, and that was the main thing that I knew about it, about Final Fantasy X, because I recently bought that just to get into it as well. Yeah. All I heard was Blitzball. That and that I would probably end up hating Titus. But I've heard his laugh, right? His laugh when was it Yuna? Uni?
Yeah, it's Titus and Yuna. They're on the bridge, but that's one scene in the whole game, and I think that one gets a bad rap because of the translation. But I do know what you're saying though, because that scene right there, that made me a little bit awkward too. I was like, this was a really serious scene. Now it's like, I'm wondering if it turned into a B movie, and like, it was like, what happened?
Like, yeah, super silly. And I know you could you could tell what the scene was about, what it was going for, but
oh yeah,
like for me, voice acting is important. If a game has voice acting, then bad voice acting can turn me off of it, which is a very minor thing. But I know that's really weird,
it's not.
Well, you spend so much time listening to the voices. If the actors aren't putting it into it, or if they're just terrible actors, it takes away from, you know, you may as well just be reading it.
Yeah, literally. I mean, that's one of the things that made me stick with Xenoblade is because there, you know, there was British actors, and I didn't really get that a lot in some of the other JRPGs I've ever played. Don't you always get British actors, and that was a really unique thing for me, so I stuck with it. Also, another reason, Xenoblade really just has one of the best music soundtracks I've ever heard in my life. Just ever, I have the soundtrack on my iTunes. It was one of the first game soundtracks I ever got because I loved it so much. If you played Smash Brothers, the new one for Wii U and 3DS, there's three songs from that game in Smash Brothers, because Shulk's from Xenoblade, and I don't know, like I can listen to it just as I'm listening to music. Like if I'm at my station just wanting to go through music, I can put on Xenoblade and just take it in. And Chrono Trigger's almost the same way, just the music is incredible. That's always for me like one of the biggest make or break points for me.
Music, no, definitely, man. Music is, especially with RPG, it's almost like they're synonymous. Like it's like they all have to have like a really cool like overworld theme and a really cool battle theme. That's gonna be, you're gonna be hearing the battle theme like every 5 seconds throughout the entire game. So that has to be really good. Boss battles have to sound like really epic. There has to be like a separate theme for the final boss battle, and dungeon themes and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like an RPG soundtrack, it almost like lends itself to being awesome, because it has to be awesome in order for it to be an RPG soundtrack. It's like the two go hand in hand.
It's how I powered through Final Fantasy 13 too.
Honestly, because, oh man, can we talk about this for a minute? Because Final Fantasy 13, that was like, I anticipated that game. I thought it was going to be like the Rapture. I was like, this is going to be the greatest game to ever come out ever. Like, it's game, set, match, it's done. I bought it, played it. I didn't even beat it because of how bored I got. And like, the only thing that kept me going was at the end of the day, it was a terrible game per se, but it was a terrible, like, whatever. Okay, whatever it was about the game that bothered me, it wasn't the soundtrack, because that was a great soundtrack.
Yeah, what bothered me about Final Fantasy 13 was, other than that one area, it was just too linear. You never pick your people. It forces people on you. And also, I wasn't a fan of the battle system. If I'm going to be changing classes, I want to change one person, not the whole group. And but yeah, that was one of those games where I got to the I think I got to the final dungeon or whatever, and I said, wait a minute, I don't care, they're all gonna turn anyways.
I'm done with this. The presentation and the of Final Fantasy 13, like the graphics, the music, the stylization of it was impeccable.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, very well presented.
And everything else was like,
yeah. So even Troy Baker sounded weird, and he's like the voice acting god right now. He was in that game, Snow.
Yeah, he was Snow.
Oh, okay. So,
man.
No, yeah. He's also, by the way, he's also in when you pick up Bravely Default, he's in that too.
Oh, for real?
Yep. But yes. You won't wait. I can't remember. Wait, maybe I got those two wrong. I can't remember if it was Troy Baker or Nolan North. I think it's Troy Baker.
No, I'm pretty sure it was Troy Baker.
And he's in that, yeah. He's in that. You'll have to pick him out because you won't hear him for a long time.
Okay.
When you play the game. It'll be a while before you hear him. But
yeah,
he is in the game. Did you pick up the demo?
Bravely Default? No, I didn't. Okay. The latest thing that I had for my 3DS was Smash Bros. And that is its purpose right now. Its sole purpose is to run Smash Bros. For me. You know, but around Christmas time or Boxing Day or whatever, I need to pick up Pokemon, which we should start breaking into that.
Definitely.
Either Alpha Sapphire or Omega Ruby or whatever the term is. I need one of those. I need the Mario and Luigi RPG. I think it's Dream Team for 3DS. And then I need Bravely Default. So whenever, you know what I mean? Like, that's soon. That's coming soon.
Can we, yeah. But before we get to Pokemon, can we talk about Mario?
Oh, hell yeah.
Because
again,
I got something like
hey, Super Mario RPG.
Oh, one of the best of Super Nintendo, and I haven't played it.
All the same, the paper sticker one for 3DS is probably one of the worst for the 3DS.
Oh, yeah. No. Paper Mario Sticker Star is like is to Mario RPGs what Cars 2 is to Pixar movies.
Oh, yes. That is a great analogy. Although,
I mean, they're like,
definitely.
All Mario RPGs so far have just been just better than average or better than that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And except that one, which is. But like, I played the original Paper Mario. I played Superstar Saga. I played Bowser's yes. Inside Story. They're super fun.
Yeah. And they have a good sense of humor. That's another thing that's important to keep you going. You know, you need to laugh every couple minutes or every couple hours in some games.
Yeah, a lot of like I think it's one of the I don't know. I guess I'll say that the negative points of JRPGs as a genre as a whole is that they tend to take themselves really seriously. You know, like they present the story. And then they have, you know, bits of comedy, but mostly just super serious. Whereas Mario is not that at all.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, like when you're playing Final Fantasy VII and like the gravitas of some of the scenes, like especially like Meteor is going to come blow up the earth and it's just hovering over you at all times. And there's that sad, drony music playing. Playing Super Mario, Superstar Saga. And I'm on like the Bean Bean Kingdom just running around. There's that like cool tropical music playing. I jump on a Goomba. It's like, boop. And it's like, let's fight. It's like, yeah. It's like so happy. It's like completely the opposite of everything I knew about RPGs before. It's like the world is doomed, and it's like Mario's just like, no, it's just Princess's voice got stolen. Go deal with it. And he's just running around, hoo-hoo, and just so happy, and just, you know what I mean? I love those games. I love them. Even thing about Superstar or the Mario and Luigi titles, like specifically, is their battle system. The way that they introduce, like, hitting A again right when you're about to hit your target, that's not necessarily a new thing. That was in Super Mario RPG, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was, right? Okay, so then that wasn't necessarily new, but the way they implemented that along with, like, the bros attacks, where it's like whenever Mario and Luigi combine, do some combo stuff, and you have to hit A for Mario, B for Luigi, back and forth, and hit them right at the right times, and it's like, that kept me going, like, right to the end with Mario and Luigi, just that alone, because that was just, it was just so awesome, just to see them, like, spinning around, jumping on each other, using each other as hammers and stuff like that. It was just amazing.
Oh, it was, and it was easy, it was simple, but, super rewarding. Effective, and there was a challenge to it still, like, I gotta get this combo, A, B, A, yeah, very, agreed.
Very rewarding system, too. It made you, whenever you got the combo right, the animation that, like, took place, the fight animation was just, it was either just so cool, entertaining, and it just did so much damage, just, I just love it.
Well, let's get on the big elephant in the room, since we covered Final Fantasy. How many, which generation of Pokemon did you guys start with? Pat, what did you start with?
I started with making fun of my nephews for getting into that.
And you're out of the conversation. Joey.
I'll just sit back and have a smoke, and what are you guys talking about Pokemon? I really do know very, very little about it, except for that South Park episode, which I think summed it up very well about commercialism and how to get them all.
Jim Pokemon, yeah.
Yeah, Jim Pokemon.
Oh, dude. Okay, well, that's cool. I mean, not Pokemon's not for everybody, but yeah, dude, I think, George, me and you, we definitely both started with Red and Blue and worked our way up. I mean, I had Red, and then I had Yellow, and then I had Silver, which I think is my all-time favorite, because just for the sheer fact that you can go back and fight yourself, you could fight Red from Red and Blue in Silver, and it's just, that is one of my favorite, probably my favorite RPG of all time.
Actually, I started by borrowing one of my friend's Yellow versions, and the Yellow version that I borrowed, I don't know what was wrong with it, but like something was wrong. Maybe it was dropped in water or something, but it would randomly shut off. The cartridge would reset, and it would do this randomly. And the farthest I ever got was Brock. I beat him once, and then the cartridge reset, so I put it down. I didn't get into Pokemon until Generation 2. I got Gold and Silver for Christmas. I was already into the anime, right?
Mm.
But I got Gold and Silver for Christmas, and I played through Gold because I was into Phoenixes at the time. I don't know. I was a kid. And, 100%, and I've had every at least two games from every generation since, and Gold remains the best playing experience I've ever had.
I have to agree. I have to agree. Silver and Gold, that something about the generation, it was like the perfect sequel to a game.
Exactly.
Like literally, it's like it's everything we like about the first one, plus more, and just like more like gyms to fight. There's 16 more. Guys to catch, more like areas to explore, items and HMs, and like it was
incredible.
Yeah, beyond incredible. That and like I think the games have gotten worse, like before they got better. Like I think Diamond and Pearl was like the lowest point in the series, and then they kind of brought it back with Black and White, and they're like, okay, we're having a story now, and then X and Y was just, I just love that game because the fact that, you know, the Mega Evolution thing just blows my mind still.
The Black and White were great. I mean, X and Y were great.
Oh, yeah.
I really enjoyed them all the way through, with the exception of the fact that there's not much of a post-game after you beat. But
that was my main problem with it too when I reviewed it.
My favorite of the recent Pokemon is actually Black 2. I played through that, and I played Black as well, but Black 2, I think, improved on Black quite a bit. I mean, they weren't the same game. The gyms were in different places. They had different themes. Like, one of the gyms from Black 2 was, you know, like, downstairs in a club. And and it was incredible to me that they had changed so much. And a lot of different Pokemon showed up a little earlier, some of my favorites. So I really, really enjoyed Black 2.
Yeah, Black 2 was great. Black 2 had, I'm pretty sure it had the World Tournament.
Yes, Pokemon World Tournament. Right?
That's like souped up, heavy D's version of Battle Frontier from like Emerald.
Yeah.
It's like just, oh man, that one was awesome. Yeah, I don't know. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And you can, with the World Tour or a tournament, you could actually play like other, you could play characters from previous generations would make cameos there. Yeah, I think, like, Cynthia showed up.
Yeah, Cynthia, Lance, Red and Blue.
Yeah.
And I think some other gym leaders, like probably Wallace from third gen.
Yeah.
He's nasty. He has a tough team. And then, you know, yeah, I see, like, they need something like that, like the Battle Frontier, like the World Tournament for X and Y. That would have been awesome. But apparently there's a lot of post-game content in Alpha Ruby or Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, whichever.
I'm super happy about it. I can't wait to pick those up.
Definitely.
I had a question, and I was just about to ask it, but it has escaped me. That's okay. Yeah, no, I can't wait to pick up Alpha, the remakes either. I'm probably hoping to get them around Christmas time. So hopefully we'll see how it goes. All right, yeah. Pat, you done?
Oh yeah, yeah. All right.
Welcome back, dude. Pokemon is talking over.
It's a generational thing, you know. When I was in junior high, I got really into Power Rangers, but I started to realize I was like the only person in my age group doing so. And so Pokemon came around and just like, no, must have hurt my eyes, and then it just became one of those things where it's just too much to get into, you know. Although I do have respect for the franchise that, instead of just doing platformers and stuff like you might expect, that they went out and did RPGs and people really love them. So all the power to them.
Yeah, it's in some ways it does seem like an introduction to the genre as a whole, but in a lot of other ways it's when you become an adult and you play it, like most kids that I know became adults that still play.
Yep.
Then it becomes, wow, this is a little deeper than I thought, because it's the battle system is really a lot deeper on than it appears on the surface, because there are so many hidden stats that you yourself can optimize through breeding and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah, so that gets really, really complicated. Like, that gets,
yes, it does.
EV training or IV training, whatever it is, that gets deep. Like, people, like, I could have a level 100 Charizard, and you could have a level 100 Charizard, but because you EV bred yours and you leveled it up a certain way under certain conditions, yours will be like 10 times stronger. I'm talking about like overwhelmingly, like,
so stat, much.
Like, yeah, boosts like crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, it makes a huge difference to the game once you get into the, well, that's like competitive. That's more for competitive battling though.
Yeah.
Which is something that I can't and refuse to do, because it's like training for a boxing match. You really need to put like your heart and soul into that.
Definitely. I don't competitive battle either, but I, oddly enough, I keep up with the scene. I mean, not with the actual battlers, but with the techniques to do it in case I ever wanted to, and I don't, because I couldn't ever dedicate my time to it. But
no, definitely some of the leveling is just good for just leveling in general, like if you just want to play the story, and or like, yeah, if you want to get like the main campaign, I mean, for Pokemon, if you want to just, oh, I can't beat this Elite Four member, so you just, you know, level up for a bit using those strategies, you'll be definitely
stronger and better.
Yeah, that's agreed. And that's pretty much why I still keep up with it. Find the best move sets, the best training strategies, and they help me in the game too.
Definitely. So.
Oh, no. Okay. It occurred to me earlier, and I'm going to go back for a second, that when I asked like what you guys have been into lately, I never got to Pat. So, Pat, what have you been playing? What JRPGs have you been playing lately?
Lately, Final Fantasy 14, although I got to say I've been taking a break from that, and I just picked up Last of Us for PS3, so I've been into that lately.
Worthy.
But the most recent JRPG I've been playing was Bravely Default, and then Final Fantasy 14.
Ooh, what are you guys looking forward to? Like we got I still have to pick up Fire Emblem Awakening, which I haven't played yet, and I want to so bad. But upcoming games, I mean, who's not looking forward to Final Fantasy 15?
I want to be looking forward to it. I really do, but I'm having a wait and see attitude on that one right now.
It looks beautiful, but so did Final Fantasy 13. So I'm also withholding judgment because it looks photorealistic, fine. That's cool. It looks like real life, okay. But if it doesn't have the game, the Final Fantasy to back it up, it's not. I'm not going to be happy, but as of right now, I am cautiously optimistic because it's not developed by like any of the other Final Fantasy guys. As far as I know, it's just Tetsuya Nomura being the game director and then his team that did Kingdom Hearts. So it's a completely different game we're looking at here. It's going to be more of an action RPG. Like, I don't know. Have you guys, that's another one. Do you guys play Kingdom Hearts?
No.
I own the first one, and I've gotten to where you fight the villain from Tarzan. So I've played a bit
nothing.
Of it.
You played nothing.
No, not really into it, and I haven't touched number two yet.
Oh, man. Okay, well, let me just go off quick a little bit for Kingdom Hearts. It's like, if you haven't played it before, okay, one, story makes absolutely no sense. I mean, you have all the Disney characters, all the Final Fantasy characters mash up into one big, crazy, convoluted story about light versus darkness. But then it's not really about light versus darkness. It's about Leonard Nimoy's, like the character that Leonard Nimoy plays. And he wants to take over the entire world and shroud it into darkness. And it's just way too much to even start going over. It's like the level of complexity for the story is so stupidly like deep and complex, it's not even worth getting into. If you want to play Kingdom Hearts, you go because you like mashing X to beat the crap out of some like evil dude, right? You know what I mean? Because it's like that is gameplay driven for sure. Kingdom Hearts is like if you focus too much on the fact that you have Donald and Goofy fighting alongside you, and Donald's using fire magic and stuff like that, and Goofy has a shield like Captain America style, bashing people's heads in. It's definitely tough to get behind. But once you start playing it and you understand the action RPG gameplay system that they put there, that is a awesome, just absolutely astounding game. That one, like one of the best games that I've ever played, Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, and then Birth by Sleep for PS3, for PSP, sorry. Those three, one of the best games RPG-wise that I've played. And I'm super excited that team specifically is going to be developing Final Fantasy 15, because then they get to take their awesome battle system and rework it for a story that actually people want to care about and doesn't feature Mickey Mouse with a Keyblade.
What about isn't Kingdom Hearts 3 coming out? Or like has that been announced?
Yeah, it was announced. And the only thing we've seen so far from it is that CG trailer from E3 this year. And that one, they said they're not going to develop Kingdom Hearts 3 until Final Fantasy 15 is done. And that one, the last thing I heard about that game, Final Fantasy 15, is that it was 50% done, according to Nomura when he said, I think it was an article, an interview he did with Kotaku or something, and he said, yeah, we're halfway done Final Fantasy 15, although the game is still slated to release Q4 2014. Where's my Final Fantasy 15? It's December. It's December. What's going on?
I cannot. Like, I have been watching it, and I was skeptical. Actually, I won't even say. I wasn't skeptical because I played Final Fantasy 13, and before 13, the only Final Fantasy game I'd ever played was 12. And I got my fix on 12 when I was playing Xenoblade, so I was okay. So Final Fantasy 13, even though I did end up stopping after a while, didn't really bother me that it was just straight and narrow tunnels and you couldn't really explore the fantasy. But I really enjoyed it. As a game, because I don't have the deep appreciation of where Final Fantasy has come from. That being said, Final Fantasy 15 looked great to begin with, and I kind of like where they're going with it. Just as a game, it just looks like pretty stereotypical, I guess, in terms of what it looks like the protagonist is fighting for. But I've seen that it looks. I've read that it looks that it is. It should be way more open world, kind of like Final Fantasy 13 2 was.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the monsters and the battles look incredible. Looks like just even the regular battles are against, you know, beasts that are five times your size. And I'm totally a sucker for scale.
Yeah, the scope is like, it's almost like Shadow of the Colossus. Some of the fights, it's like you really go, wow, like I'm fighting, or like God of War 3 when you're fighting Kronos or whatever his name is, like you're like, wow, I'm taking down this huge thing. It's like craziness.
It's like monster. You guys ever play Monster Hunter for Wii U?
That's another one.
I love Monster Hunter.
Yeah, no, Monster Hunter is that way. I've touched that because it was one of the first games I picked up for Wii, sadly at the same time as Xenoblade, so I never actually really got into it. But I have it and I want to because I'm a sucker for scale, for scope like that, for looking at this huge monster and saying, all right, we're going to take this down, like in Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, I'm blessed with Monster Hunter because I know a couple people who are really into it and have leveled themselves up, you know, or they can take on anything. So I kind of leech off of their greatness when I play online. Like the final boss in Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, I can't do it. I can't do it one player. The thing has killed me so many times I don't even want to go back and fight to it again. But one thing I love about those games is you know, they're kind of throwing the same monster at you, but by changing its patterns and the environment, you really get different experiences, and also depending on who you're playing with too, because there's lots of different choices. Like I never use the bows or the lances, but I've played with guys who are awesome with those, and if you get a good group with mix of different weapons, really changes how you fight a creature. It as opposed to if you're all just with swords whacking away at things. And then like the timer, the hour long timer runs out. You're just like, I've been hitting this thing for an hour and it's not dead. Why won't you die? I die.
Have you picked up Monster Hunter 4?
No, I didn't think it was out yet.
Is it not?
I think it's out in Japan, but I don't think it's out here yet.
But no, yeah, I'm sure
the pre-orders are going because it's definitely coming to North America. There's no maybe about it.
Oh yes. Do you have it for 3DS or do you have it for Wii?
I have it for both actually, and it's cool because I can take my character from the Wii and just plug it into my 3DS and just play on the bus, you know. Although on the bus, that's really only good for farming. You don't want to take a huge monster on.
All right, I'm fighting, like, and then the hour goes off, or you start, and then you're in the middle of the fight, and then you get where you're just like, no!
Oh. Yeah.
No, I should. I only have it for Wii, and I think I should get it for 3DS because I haven't been playing it. And I want to, and I think I would be more inclined to play it if it were on 3DS. So I'll probably end up doing that.
Yeah, it's fun on the 3DS. It's one of those games where even though I have the one with the small screen, it's good 3D. It's one of the 3Ds that I like to keep on. Sometimes I turn the 3D right off, but games like Monster Hunter, I love having that 3D just cranked.
Yeah. There are a couple games like I like it on Bravely Default, but some of them I definitely turn off. Like I actually turn it off on Smash Brothers. I don't like it, but
I can see that. I haven't played it on the 3DS yet, but I get confused on the big screens. So
yeah, no.
Where's my guy? Who am I fighting?
Which one is this? No, I'm really interested in Xenoblade Chronicles X. Obviously, yeah. As I've been gushing over Xenoblade this whole episode. But yeah, Xenoblade Chronicles X is probably the RPG I am most looking forward to upcoming. It looks incredible. Same sort of scale, right? Which is what kept me going, which is one of the reasons why I kept going with it, the original. Like just huge, gigantic, you know, dinosaur sized monsters and you the size of, you know, its toe nail.
And yeah, and now got these mech suits you can play in. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh yeah, the dolls. They're called the dolls.
Yeah,
you can fly around, and they said the world of Xenoblade was huge, and they wanted that scope of a world even when you're flying around like five times as fast as walking, and so it'll be that huge while you're flying. I can't wait.
Oh yeah! Imagine running around in it. Eesh.
Oh my gosh! Gosh, I don't want to. Well, I kind of do want to, but yeah, I've been. The more I hear about it, the more I'm looking forward to.
That game's probably second for me on my radar. I'd say my first would be whatever they're cooking up for Zelda.
Ooh, the new Zelda!
I'm excited that they're going open world, but I'm disappointed that they're still refusing to put voice acting into it.
Other than yeah, right.
Yeah. I mean, you have the guy doing the yeah and the rolling noise and whatever. Just have that guy voice Link, and then, you know, all the characters have their gasps and their giggles. Just have that person do the voices. Like, I don't see what the problem is.
I don't know,
because you know you're already imagining Link to be hiya hiya whatever his voice is for the hiyas. So just do that. If it's old Link, make him a bit more brooding and whatever.
Hiya.
Yeah, because he's all, oh yeah, whoa, whoa.
And then young Link, hiya!
Exactly. I don't get it.
I don't know. Zelda, or Link in particular, is kind of like, it's iconic that he doesn't speak. Like, you know what I mean? He's like one of the silent video game one of the classic silent video game protagonists. It's like he doesn't say a word throughout the whole.
Doesn't say anything. Like, I'd be fine if they kept that character alive, and you know, everyone having this big conversation. Then they turn to Link, and he's just like, "Yeah, sure," you know, say something, you know.
Oh, you know what that reminds me of?
I really noticed it in Hyrule Warriors. Like, just like, why aren't you talking? Anyway, sorry, Joy.
No, it's I was gonna say, I really noticed they did a good job. I don't know if you guys played South Park Stick of Truth.
Oh yeah, that was well done.
That one they completely blew open the idea of having a silent protagonist. It's like your player can't say anything.
Yeah.
Like, so they would turn to you for confirmation. It's like, right, dude, yeah, we're gonna do this, and your player just like staring at them like blankly. He's like. Well, all right, okay, so let's keep going.
Okay, fine. Your name is Douchebag.
Yeah, like that's probably the best example. It's right at the beginning when you tell Cartman your name, no matter what you say. He's like, "Are you sure you want to keep your name as Douchebag?" And you're like, "No." Like, well, as soon as you choose Douchebag, there's no going back from this. Are you sure? No, I want to change my name. All right, Douchebag. So let's get started with the game. It's like, oh man, they did that so well. It's like that goes for. you know, Link and Legend of Zelda games. Some of the, well, pretty much the first Final Fantasy game is pretty much the only one where your player doesn't speak. I think all the other ones, the main character has his own or her own
lines.
Yeah, lines or even just character, like personality. It's not just a blank slate. But like Pokemon, your player character, your trainer, he doesn't speak. That's another classic one. Mario's kind of an exception because he's more like he'll say things that don't exist, like whoop-hoo or some noise or whatever. And that sort of goes along with Link with like the hi-ya. But I wouldn't want Mario to be fully voiced in a game. So I prefer my Link silent.
It's kind of like fair enough. I never played. I know this isn't a JRPG, but I never played Metroid Other M, right? The much maligned, but I did play all the Primes, and I don't know if she spoke in Other M, but she never spoke except her in the Primes, even though you could, you could even see her face and her eyes sometimes in the reflection of the visor, but you never heard her speak lines, even when people were speaking to her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if that's changed in Other M because I never played it, but I always liked that you know, she could go on and you knew she had a voice, like someone was voicing her, but there were no lines, and so you could still kind of put yourself in her place,
mm-hmm.
kind of like what JRPGs are semi meant to do.
Even if they were to do something like Ryan Gosling in Drive, where his character doesn't necessarily have he definitely doesn't have a lot of lines, but whenever he does speak, it's like holy crap, he just spoke, like it's powerful that he did speak. If they did something with that with games where it's like a very very soft spoken character, and whenever he does speak, it's very important or something, like he said something very very crucial, like that would be cool. If a game took that sort of approach where it's like, yeah, we want him to be silent, but we don't want him to be completely mute. Like,
yeah. I think that would work well for Link. I mean, there's plenty of characters in the world to do all their yipping and yapping, and Link, you know, he don't care much about that. He just wants to get the job done. He'll be like, yeah, okay, do it. Let's not do it.
Yeah, if he showed some interest towards the world he was saving, then maybe I definitely.
Yeah. he really doesn't seem to care that much, you know. Zelda will go on forever, he'll just nod and go, "Hi-ya!"
All day, just if Zelda weren't involved, I think Link would just I think Link like Mario, just go for the adventure.
But, yeah.
All right.
Well,
running out of time, so I'm gonna actually ask some questions. We're gonna go kind of real quick, and I'm going to ask you, and then call your name. If you can think of one, what is your all-time favorite Japanese RPG and why, Pat?
Final Fantasy VII. It kind of opened my eye. I know it's an obvious answer, but it opened my eyes even further to the whole genre with just all the little things you could do. Like, it was the first time where I had spent hours on a game trying to get into a bathhouse only to be raped and assaulted by people. You know what I mean?
That was your first game doing that? Ooh, you missed out. No.
And then later on, you know, when you lose your main character, when Cloud's sitting there in his wheelchair just saying ooh and ah, and you're running around as Tifa, like it just, the game kept going and the story kept getting, you know, at first you're just blowing up a reactor, and then you're out to fight the bosses of the city, and then you're just in this whole wide world and meteors coming down. It just... I love it. I mean, Link will always be with me, but Final Fantasy VII, it just blew my hat off, and I still can't find my hat.
Joey?
I think I got to go with Final Fantasy VII. I mean, I know the first one I played was number one, but I think the one that stuck with me was number seven, just because I like all the characters. Like, literally, I think the only one who I didn't want to play as at all was, like, Kate Sith because he was a traitor bastard. Yeah. But, like for real, though, especially... Yeah, like, oh, don't even get me started. Like, that was... She's... Well, she didn't have to go, man. She didn't have to. But she did, I guess, for the story to progress. But I guess the thing with Seven... that really makes it stand out as my favorite is the final boss against Sephiroth. You can use more than one team of three, and the fact that I could use everyone to beat the final boss, and then of course whoever you beat Bizarro with, that team of three goes on to fight Safer Sephiroth with like the supreme final boss. But Cloud, Vincent, Barrett, Cid, Red 13, Tifa, Yuffie, like they're all classic, awesome characters. The story was amazing. Sephiroth is probably the best villain next to Kefka, who actually we didn't talk about this, but Kefka from Final Fantasy VI, he actually does what he sets out to do. He wants to become God. He takes the power of God for himself, and he blows up the world. Sephiroth doesn't really do that, but he does take the power. Like he does absorb most of the life stream, which is the whole. Yeah. Plot from Final Fantasy VII. He's a great villain, and just the world, the side quest. You know what I mean? Like after you beat Sephiroth, if you feel like you can go to Emerald Weapon, Ruby Weapon, and all those different things, all the different things. It's awesome.
It let you progress as you wanted to. There is one point where I got to the end of the game, and I had W summon with Knights of the Round.
Yes.
Come on, and I beat the final epic Sephiroth with one hit. He didn't get a turn.
Oh my god.
I couldn't believe it. I was just, and this was before you could record these things. No one will ever believe me, but
Will, as you might have gleaned from earlier, I actually have only ever played one single digit Final Fantasy, and that's number 3 for my phone.
Mm-hmm.
The first one I actually ever played was 12. I played 12, 13, and like the Japanese 3, and that's it as far as Final Fantasy goes. But I did play Chrono Trigger, and if you want a stereotypical favorite JRPG of all time that's not Final Fantasy 7, then you're going to say Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and that has to be my answer. First JRPG I ever played, first RPG really, other than Pokemon. And while I do love Pokemon, and I still fondly remember the adventures I had playing it and playing it with other people, I can sing the praises of Chrono Trigger for hours, as I said before. And Chrono, the character, and the way he interacted with everyone, or how everyone else interacted with him, and the game itself is one of the cleverest uses of time travel that I've ever seen as a game mechanic. You got to visit the world, and it was the exact same world, but explore how it changed through time, and that was something really cool, just to see how the humans evolved through magic and then like fell after Lavos and seeing all the heroes of each time. And it was just a great experience, and it was easy to play. It was like the perfect length for me at the time. The battle system was great, how you could pair up and get different combinations of people. The first time I ever played Chrono Trigger, I had Frog fight Magus, because I was like, no, he's got to finish the fight. He's got to kill him. And I had no idea what I had done to myself, because Magus, you can recruit him, and he's like one of the best characters of the game. But it's for me, it's got to be Chrono Trigger. So that would probably be my answer. The last thing real quick, To finish off, I think I want to go ahead and, for anyone who's listening, who's for some reason, like even both, whether you have played a JRPG or whether you've never played and you want to get into it, I want to maybe give some recommendations from each of us. Like from me, if you've never played a JRPG and you're looking to get into it, I fully recommend any of the recent Mario titles. Those will kind of get you into the feel of going around, doing tasks. There are side quests and battle systems that'll keep you hooked. So especially any of the Paper Mario series that you can find, any of those would be great. And if you are an experienced JRPG fan and you need something different, I'm playing one currently on Steam. If you have a PC or a PSP, currently playing one called Legend of Heroes: Trails in the Sky, which is just recently come over, and it's known for its world building, super long, known for its world building. You talk to a whole bunch of people and there's so much dialogue. So if you're not into reading, maybe that's not it for you, but, it has an interesting battle system, and all the characters, they grow through time and it'll get you hooked. And if you stay to at the end, I'm told you will be greatly rewarded for sticking with it. And by the same company, there's a series called YS, also on Steam and on PSP. And if you don't want to talk, you just want to fight and action, then that'll be the one for you. It's basically like there's barely a story, and you just fight and collect power-ups for yourself to fight with. I guess it qualifies as an action RPG because there is a story to begin with, and there's one character throughout the whole series that you play as, but it is really fun, and the music is awesome. So, Joey, why don't you, if you have any recommendations for new and old JRPGers alike, feel free to share.
Oh, I definitely do, man. I mean, a lot of the games we talked about are you had to play them at the time. Like, I've been trying to get my friends into Final Fantasy VII or any of the previous Final Fantasies before 10, and none of my friends want to get behind it because of either the graphics or, oh, there's no voice acting and stuff like that. So if you want to get into an RPG and you don't want to be bogged down by, you know, like these old outdated graphics, especially for Final Fantasy VII, because a lot of people, if you never played that game before, you don't know where to go. You'll be looking in all the wrong places, and some things won't even look like a door to you or a chest or something like that. So I got to say, the older ones, the 8-bit Final Fantasies 1, 4, and 6, I highly recommend those ones because they're so simple and easy to get into.
Yeah, and I'll interject here. You can definitely find 1 and 3 on iPhone and Windows and Android. They're on your phone, so you can play them on the phone.
1 through 6 actually. They did complete remakes of all 1 through 6 as far as I know. So and that's the good one too, because they added voice acting into 4, if I'm not mistaken, for DS, and then any of the other subsequent releases. And then another one that we didn't even talk about today, but I mentioned, is Golden Sun. If you have an emulator for Game Boy Advance, or if you have a Game Boy Advance and you want to pick up Golden Sun 1 and 2, Golden Sun 1 and then Golden Sun 2 Lost Age, those games are just incredible RPGs, but also very simple and very easy to get into. And the gameplay is just very traditional, turn-based, traditional puzzles to solve and stuff like that. And that's one of my favorites, and also one of the easiest to get into.
For myself, I'd have to say, as far as, you know, if you're just dipping your toes in the JRPG world, then The Legend of Zelda is a great place to start. They don't get too bogged down in story, and it's a lot of grass cutting in action, but you know, there's some puzzles in there that make you think too. And it's one of those games where once you say, hey, you know, there's the whole world to explore, I wish it was a bigger world, and then you go play a more traditional JRPG, you know, you just get blown away by the size of something like the world in Xenoblade. You know, the Zelda world almost feels contained, you know, just dungeon to dungeon kind of thing. But at the same time, you know, they always put in the side quests and the different things to do. And other than that, you know, Pokemon, everyone loves it, you know, got to get them all. You know, you guys think it's a great game, I'll take your recommendations and recommend that to anyone who isn't into it yet. Because if they're not into JRPGs yet, they're probably into Pokemon.
Agreed. What about people who are into JRPGs? Do you have any, like, hardcore recs that maybe they haven't heard of?
If you missed Xenoblade and it's limited release, I don't care what price you have to pay for it, go buy it. It's amazing.
It is completely worth it. Can I gush for a second again? I picked it up for I found it at GameStop. It's pretty much the only place you could find it other than online. I picked it up for $54 used after my power up discount, whatever. And I'd looked at it, you know, I'd wondered why it was so much used and all that. I was like, is this a rare game or something? I looked up reviews, glowing reviews. It has like a 90-something on Metacritic. And so I was like, yeah, I'll take a risk. It is the main story alone is like 70 or 80 hours or maybe 60 to 70, something like that. But the side quests... all to like, you don't even have to do all of them. Like, if you do some of the side quests, like half the side quests and the story, it will take you over 100 hours to complete that game.
Oh, yeah.
And you will love every minute of it.
Leaving the opening city, I think, took me over like 10 hours.
Yes, yeah.
Much to do.
It's incredible. Yeah, just, I think you'll get hooked, especially. If you were a fan of Final Fantasy 12 or any of those type of or any of those type of, you know, free, because there's you walk up and you see every monster, which is something I hated about early RPGs that made me not play them, is I hated random battles. Hated that so much. Now I'm used to them, but there are no random battles in it because you can see every monster, and as soon as you walk up to it, you know, you fight it. And the world is huge. All the characters
run random. You know, you got to do the back attacks, the side attacks. It's an immersive battle system, and the battle system is what it all hinges on. Really, you know, like if you don't like the battle system, that's what you're doing 90% of the game. So
yeah, the battle system is really the crux of the game. It's super different. Very very much like online games, actually, where there's a cooldown timer for everything you use, but. If you like exploration in JRPGs, or you like just wild, outlandish settings, like this game takes place on the back of two colossi that have gone dormant. It's incredible. But yeah. Pick up Xenoblade. If you don't want to pay that much, and you happen to have a Wii, you should pick up Xenoblade, no matter how much it costs, because I guarantee it's worth it.
PDF with a new 3DS soon.
Yeah, it is also coming out with a new 3DS. So if you plan on picking that up, that'll be a launch title for it, I think. It's the only announced title for it so far. So to piggyback on Pat, if you don't quite have that money yet to spend on Xenoblade, you might also pick up The Last Story for Wii, which is another – it came over in the same, you know, the same time as Xenoblade and – it's another like really good JRPG that deals with, I think, a lot less people. I think just one person. You're playing as one person the whole time, and it's not quite as big, but definitely highly recommended anyway. So those two are probably the best RPGs for the Wii. So either one would work, but definitely please try Xenoblade at some point. Well. I think that's going to do it. I think we've run out of time now. We've talked about JRPGs for about a little over an hour, and I really want to thank you guys for coming on and doing this with me.
Yeah, no problem. This is, man.
I think this should definitely be a regular thing.
Oh, yeah.
We just have some podcasts for the website. So if you've never been to Reviews, I'll go ahead and give you the URL. It is www.re-viewsmedia.com. That's reviewsmedia.com.
And now you can't get it wrong, so there's no excuse if you don't come to our website. He spells it out for you, okay?
Definitely. And it doesn't matter what you're into. We review all sorts of media. So hit us up on the website. We'll plan to have more podcasts for you guys coming up in the future on all the different media. On behalf of Pat and Joey and myself, I just want to thank you guys for listening. And stay tuned for more to come.